Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Tut! What is that?
I don't know.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. There's my airtime.
It's my welcome.
I was trying to get some airtime. I'm trying to make a call, Bob. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Jesus. Fucking brother. He's supposed to be here today. My brother fucking Billy.
Billy.
You know, the average
Bill, leave a message.
Oh, damn.
What the fuck?
Now he's sending you to voicemail.
Straight to voicemail. Yo, Bill, you're supposed to fucking be here, dude. You know, remember? I'd love to do it. See, Bob, the thing, thing with my brother is, he's really my audience. He's the every guy.
Sure.
The things I write
about. He's a regular guy.
He's a regular guy.
Hardworking dude.
He's a regular dude, got, you know, regular views. He's there. And I'm like, why don't we have him in?
Right.
You know, because
I thought it'd be good. I thought it was a great idea. I mean, we'll talk to Bill. Everyday guy.
Yeah. Maybe snort some Oxycontin with him. And I'm on voicemail, fucking Billy. You know what I mean?
Come on, Bill.
Hey, Bill. You always pick up the phone when you want to borrow some money, dude. And you never up the phone when it's time to pay it back. How'd that? Billy lives in fucking Plymouth. You know what he's pulling on me? A Nestle. A Dana Nestle.
Right.
She's from Plymouth. What's wrong with these people?
People in Plymouth, they're just different people.
Jesus, man. Hey, Bill, fuck you, dude. That's a real. We don't even need you. You're out.
It would have been a great show, Bill.
No, fuck that. Delete. Here, text. Lose my number. Fucking Billy. All right, man. Welcome to No Bullshit News Hour. Your best hour of news that's real in Michigan. You know, we got a... somebody sent me a message on Facebook. You know.
Oh yeah, what'd it say?
Look it up here, man. Here, read these commercials while I look this shit up. They're not commercials; they are sponsors.
All right, we are the part of the Red Shovel Network, No Bullshit News Hour, and these sponsors really help us make this thing work. Number one, ADR Consultants. Providing full business, construction management, and IT consulting services for your company, municipality, and law enforcement agency. ADR, experienced, overseeing more than $250 million in private and public construction projects since 2001. Need to reduce cost? You need to re-engineer processes or find better vendors? ADR has saved clients millions. ADR consultants are experts in the procurement, compliance, and minority participation. Honest, ethical, and smart. Call Barry Ellentuck at 248-318-9424 for a consultation. Get the job done right, on time, on budget. ADR Consultants, 248-318-9424. And also, one of our biggest sponsors, American Coney Island, celebrating 102 years. It's Detroit's oldest family-run restaurant and birthplace of the famous Detroit Coney Dog with chili mustard and Vidalia onions. Gotta have the Vidalia onions. And it is my personal favorite. That's no bullshit. It's Charlie's personal favorite, too. No bullshit. You want a piece of Detroit? Head downtown to the corner of Lafayette and Michigan Avenue. Can't miss it. It's a red, white, and blue building shaped like a slice of pie. Always delicious. Always open. 24/7. The dogs snap when you bite them, and the chili is a 100-year-old family recipe made especially for the American Coney Dog. Mm-hmm. And the beer is cold. Yes. Trust me when I tell you, the beer is cold. Visit the Detroit restaurant or the one in the D Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. I was just there recently. And hey, dads and moms, at the Detroit Zoo, the American Coney Island, they sell beer at the zoo, too. Or order a Coney Island kit straight to you or your friend's door. Go to AmericanConeyIsland.com. You won't regret it.
Nicely done. We'll say, we'll get the mannequin Joey. I'll do the rest of these before my phone dies. This is from a listener named Manny. And we love the listeners because they're not listeners, Mannequin Joe. They're community. What we're doing is we're really having a talk here. And I think people are respecting the other side of the hard edge of the news, what's real. Here's what Manny, Bob, I got this from Manny, Manny Black. He said, I've been an avid listener of your show, NBN, since it started. In fact, I believe I've listened to every show in its entirety. So thanks for that, Manny, brother. I see what you're trying to do, and I really think you're onto something. Holding our local elected officials accountable with a fact-based, no-bullshit approach could be a groundbreaking concept if executed correctly. Groundbreaking?
Groundbreaking.
Holding your local government into account. Now, groundbreaking.
That's the state of journalism.
I'm not making fun of you, man. It's supposed to be what it is, brother. If executed correctly, he says. My issue is with the other personality that you have on the show, although I've forgotten his name. It's you, Bob.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah. Here's what he says.
His name's Bob.
When I tune into NBN, I expect to hear facts and valuable contributions from informed people like Karen and yourself. Karen's out getting surgery today. We're not going to go into that. It's her private business. Having said that, I'm not sure the other guy is aligned with what you're trying to get the show to become. For example, like when he falsely said FCA was laying off 800 workers in Warren, he also stated that one of the demolition contractors for Duggan had been indicted. Luckily, you called him out on it both times. Thanks for that. As a lifelong Detroiter, I believe in your show and I respect what you're trying to do. So when I tune in, I hold NBN to the same standard I would any other credible news outlet. Wow.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Maybe even a higher standard since it's sans bullshit. However, when someone makes the off-the-cuff, uninformed, and blatantly untrue remarks on what's supposed to be a news show, it is disappointing to me, particularly because I think I see your vision for NBN, and you won't get there by allowing people who don't take the show seriously enough to do their homework first before they start spewing fake news. Didn't B also say the wrong guy's name, Luke, during the advertisements? I don't think you did, no.
I don't think.
It just seems like his mind isn't all the way there and or he doesn't take the show seriously. Either way, your listeners deserve better, Bob. Wow. Yes, he provides some semi-valuable perspective sometimes, but it does not make up for his lack of professionalism.
Semi-valuable? What, has he been talking to my wife?
For someone who is supposed to be a news show. In my opinion, his primary contributions to the show are, one, being your echo, two, agreeing with you on everything, three, finishing sentence for you. I'd be happy to discuss this further and offer more constructive criticism. I'd also like to know if you disagree with my claims and why. Otherwise, I believe you're making a great effort to report the news in a refreshingly unconventional way. So thanks for that, Charlie. Also, excuse the typos and run-on sentences. Regards, Manny B. Bob.
Well, Manny, I...
Devastating, Bob.
Excuse my typos. I misspoke and said Chrysler instead of GM. I mean, you know, it happens.
Are you taking this seriously, Bob?
No. not at all, in fact.
You must take it seriously because people are taking it seriously.
Well, I take the news seriously. I take the information seriously. You know, so Manny, I apologize if I offended you. Thanks for listening, though, however. We appreciate all our listeners, and I will endeavor to try harder.
You want to know what I wrote back to Manny?
And maybe if I didn't drink before I got here.
That's the professionalism part of it.
I mean, that's the professionalism part.
But that's the refreshingly fresh take on it, which is your stale beer breath.
Right. See, that's never beer.
Yeah. Here's what I wrote back to Manny, Bob, just so you know. Okay. I said, thanks for the input, Manny. It's a work in progress. Bob is the board operator. That is his primary function. He's a very smart guy, well-informed, and I trust him. Oops. And then it died. Having said that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I believe in you, dude. You're very smart, man. You're very well-informed. And Manny and everybody else. We try to fix it as we go. But we're learning out loud. That's what I told Manny. We're learning out loud.
We are.
And if we take your criticism. That's why I wanted to read it. You know what I mean, Bob?
Yeah.
I wanted to read it.
No, I appreciate the input, and I appreciate you listening.
And you know what? The jackhole, he didn't act like a jackhole.
No, he was cool about it.
And it was a silent message.
Right.
And we respect you all.
And it was legitimate gripe, because I was wrong when I said Chrysler instead of GM.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's fine. You know, and hold us accountable.
Right.
Because it's no bullshit.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, it is no bullshit.
You know, and if you were watching any major news outlet or whatever,
They do it all the time.
They do it all the time, and they wouldn't post that.
And they wouldn't, you know. And they wouldn't correct it, and they'll stand by it. Look here, man. You know, we're doing the best we can. We're not really getting paid. I'll say this. We have integrity. And to keep your integrity is expensive. It's expensive. It'll cost you money to have integrity. But the point is, once you sell your integrity, you can't buy it back. And so, look, brother, I know you got tons of it. Me and you, man, we've been in riots, right? We've been in the desert. We
just came up on the anniversary of Ferguson.
Manny, let me tell you something about Bob. Bob and I, when we were trying, we were really raking the county, you know, guys, Fecano and the jail and all the corruption and all. We would wait for Fecano in the car. And as we were waiting, I would take, like, depositions, 200 pages. And I give Bob half of them. I go, here's what you're looking for. You go through that half. I'll go through that half. What Bob is more than a board operator, and he's more than a photographer, because people that handle the images like to call themselves video journalists, or, you know, what's the other terms?
Photog.
Yeah, or, you know, like, they like to do something journalist. You really are.
Well, thank you.
You really are, dude. You're really smart, and
I care. I care about the stories, and I care about the news, and I care about telling the truth to the people.
And misspeaking, fine. So, look, the corrections were made ahead of time, but we rarely edit this show. We just let
very
it go.
Little.
And
very
a couple little. Of times, we did make a mistake, and we took it out.
Yeah.
We did, because we don't want to misinform you. Like, your trust is important. You're not a widget to me. You're not a download to me. You're my fucking community.
Right.
Manny, you're my brother. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to lie to you or over-sensationalize things.
Or sugarcoat the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not what we're about.
Oh, yeah, and fuck you, Billy. Fuck, man. Get out of bed, you dick. What a dick.
Well, did he give it a reason?
No, he won't answer the call.
Billy.
Anyway, Manny, you know. Okay, so.
Could have gone out for a drink with us afterwards.
That's what I told him.
I mean, come on.
In his dream cruise. And I got my cars rocking. Oh, I woke up.
Yeah, the Mustang's looking good.
Yeah, and the Cadillac, man, it sprung a fucking hole in the fuel line.
Oh, no.
I could smell it from my bedroom window, man. It, like, the car was going to blow up. So, listen, this is a free one. If you need any kind of car repair, especially radiators, you go to Ferndale Radiator. You see Mel. It is a cool-ass clubhouse.
Yeah.
And when you're...
They're taking care of you.
And when your fuel line blows up, man, you can get it done. Get it done. Hey, let me do this, though. Because I want to knock these out. You see what the Dow was doing? Up and down.
Oh, it was up, what, 300 points now?
And it was down 800. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Manny. I mean, this week, we lost 800. We lost 4. It's up and down.
It is.
What are we doing?
It is.
The
It's down for the year, though.
Oh, yeah. And the bond yield curve has inverted.
Inverted yield curve, yeah.
Meaning your yield is higher.
Now, I'm not an economist. That might surprise some people.
Okay, yeah.
But what does that mean? It's the difference between like a two-year bond term and like a long term?
Listen, folks, there's a short term. If you want to buy bonds, you're loaning the government money and they're going to give you a return, right? Right. You can get them 6 months. You can get them 1 year.
Short
you can get
term.
Them 5 year. And you can get them 10 year, right? The long term are the 10 years. The short term are those other ones. Normally, you get paid more for the long-term bond, right? Because you're locking your money up, right? But government bonds are assured. You will get paid back. You will not lose your investment. You will be paid a particular interest rate. Most people, when the economy's rocking, don't want to tie their money up into the distant future. You want to do short-term.
Right.
So let's say you buy a bond. It's $1,000, right? And you want to get out of the bond. You sell it for $900. That $100 difference between what you paid for it, right, and what you're selling
for
is the yield, right? So when the price is really low, like $600, $700 for a $1,000 piece of property, that means
you're going to make money.
Yeah, you're trying to get out of the investment.
Right.
So when that difference closes, when the $1,000 bond starts selling for $1,000, that means people want it, right? They really want that. They're going to pay a premium for it. Now people are paying a premium for the long-term bonds because they don't trust what's happening in the short term.
Right.
So when...
And this has been the predictor for recessions for the last 50 years.
Well, it goes like this. Look, man, I'm scared of the market. I'm going to put my shit in something safe.
Right.
That's what it means. And that's what's happening. It's up. We don't know where the economy's going. So if you don't know where the economy's going...
As evidenced by the fucking stock market.
Right. You know, and then Luke Nowacki, man, I'm telling you. Like... I'm already discussing it. Folks, listen to me. Get your shit tight. Get a direction in your life. Start saving some money. And it starts with Luke Nowacki, right? Call him, 248-663-4748. Grow your assets from pension planning to college savings accounts, right? Stocks, bonds. What are you going to do? You're going to call Luke.
You got to call somebody who knows you what better. They're doing.
Listen, folks. I know what you're living. I'm living it, too. You living it, Joey?
I'm living it.
What are we going to do? We're scared as shit. And by the way, don't listen to the dopes who give you your money advice in the papers. They think the whole
or
economy,
on cable TV.
It's all about the Trump and the trade war. No. The shit's been softening for months and months and years. The money is cheap.
Well, the trade war doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help, but it's not the only portion of this. You got to look out for yourself, people. Remember, over half of us don't have $1,000 cash, right? Come on.
Luke will help you.
248-663-4748. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Call Luke.
Call him.
Drop our name if you want to, but I'm not doing that. I'm just, it's good, free advice. And by the way, if you've got equity in your home, if you're looking to get a home, things are moving. I don't know what the market's going to do. You want to call Hall Financial. They offer lower rates, better options, and that personal attention you want when you're talking about your home.
Oh, you got to.
Oh, when I'm talking about my home.
You got to.
Oh, you
got
to listen to
it's your biggest investment.
Listen to my redneck ass. This is what you got to listen to when you're talking about my fucking home.
Yeah.
And my kid. And my wife. Yeah. And my dog. And my garden. Equity. And my taxes.
Yeah.
Right? I got to pay this note.
Shit, yeah.
I don't want to be homeless.
No.
Listen, the average refi takes 44 days. Hall Financial averages 19 days. We're looking at the market. It's up and down like a washwoman's ass. On Monday. Do the math.
The washwoman's ass.
That's half the time, folks. Email dhall@hallfg.com to get the paper moving. Or call. Ready? Everybody pull over. 248-308-5000. Real easy.
What was that number?
248-308-5000. Say it back.
248-948?
308. There you go again, Manny. You're right. Bob, get the fuck out of here. 248-308-5000. Or maybe you just want to take that equity out of your home, right? Put it in something else. Get that kitchen done or shorten the length of your mortgage. You could be less than 3 weeks from saving money with Hall Financial. dhall@hallfg.com. 248-308-5000. Nice, Bob. Tell him you heard it on No BS News. We appreciate him sponsoring us.
I need to call him because I got to get my roof done.
You keep saying that.
And I got to.
You keep saying that about all the, you keep saying about all the sponsors. And the only thing you ever do is go down to the Coney Island and eat free shit.
Free dogs.
You're a cheap bastard, man. But I'm telling you, Bob, NMLS 1467435, Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. I like that. Leave that, huh? You see this? Friend of the show. You might not like her. She is a bit chatty, and I'm not sure what she's really getting done for the district. But Rashida Tlaib.
Yep. Friend of the pod.
In the news again.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them why, Bob.
Well, she and Representative Ilhan Omar.
Nicely done from?
We're from Minnesota.
Wow. Hey, Manny, come on, man. This guy's genius.
We're going to Israel. And
or Palestine, depending on how you're looking at it.
Well, they were going to Israel and then Palestine. And Israel blocked their admittance. They wouldn't allow them into the country at the behest of Donald Trump after several Trump tweets saying it would be very weak on the part of Israel to let them in. So Bibi Netanyahu canceled that. And
under the umbrella of what?
They have a law that says anybody who is an advocate of BDS, which is the
boycott,
divestment and sanctions
against Israel. Israel-based companies.
Israel are not allowed to come. And
that's
Trump,
a law. That's a law in Israel.
That's a law.
And that's their right to have this law.
But they're elected Congress people.
So? They can do what they want. They're
not good for Israeli-American relationship.
I don't know.
I don't know. But then Israel recanted and would let Tlaib, because Tlaib posted out a picture of her grandmother in the West Bank.
Right.
And said, I want to go see my grandmother. And they're like, okay, you can. I think it was for 24 hours where they said, okay, you can come in, have a 24-hour stay, whatever, go to Palestine, see your grandma, and then get the fuck out. And now she's not going.
She won't go.
She won't go.
Why?
I don't know.
Should we call her? No,
we should call her.
Because it's the point.
It's
the point of it. It's the point.
But it is.
She's not going now because, all right, man, you already made your call.
But the crazy thing to me about this whole story is we have an American president advocating against not only just American citizens, but elected members of Congress to not go to another country. And then that other country says, yeah, okay, whatever. I think it's horrible for Israeli-American relations. I mean,
is it horrible, Bob?
I think it is.
Is it? Do you really spend all that much time thinking about American-Israeli relations?
Well,
do you?
I don't.
I know, man. Dude, I think you're one of these guys caught up in the fucking blender of TV and Twitter. I do. You know why, Bob?
Well,
it just sounds that way.
Well, it is, but it is kind of fucked up.
It is kind of fucked up.
I mean, you're not going to...
But then again, Israel, its own country, right? Its own place with its own laws. That's on the books. And if you do support divestment, right? Boycotting, and that's the law, you ain't coming. I don't care who you are. But here's the thing. Here's what pisses me off. Is everybody listening? Because you don't know this. We have the same law in Michigan, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions law. 26 states have them. 26 states. In fact...
In support of the BDS law?
In support of that. Like,
right.
If you do business with the state of Michigan, right, as an individual or a company, and you support, you publicly support the boycott of Israel or the disinvestment or sanctions, you don't get contracts. That's our law.
That's fucked up.
That's what the fuck is that? Now watch. There was, in December of last year, legislation put forward that did not pass, right? Making this a federal, it's not a law, but it's a gesture, right? They want to pass a gesture. It just went through. It was picked up by Marco Rubio this past spring, and it went through the Senate. Okay? It went through the Senate. Now, the original sponsors of the first law that Marco Rubio picked up was U.S. Senator Gary Peters from Michigan and Debbie Stabenow from Michigan. Mannequin Joey.
About BDS.
Yeah. What is that? Look, my great-grandfather was Jewish, right? I'm from New York. I know the lobby, right?
I have Jewish friends.
Hey, yeah, what are you, like a 1970s, public service commercial? Remember that one? Can you find that one? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When he's talking to Grandpa, and Grandpa says, you know, well, who's Joey? He's my Jewish friend.
He's my Jewish friend.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Kimmy said I was prejudiced.
Do you know what prejudice is?
No.
Well, prejudice is when you react to someone because of their religion or their color.
But I don't do that.
Who is Jimmy?
Jimmy's one of my Jewish friends.
Then you are prejudiced because you think of Jimmy as your Jewish friend and not your friend.
Here's the thing. In a two-state solution, we need that, right? Every
right.
President since I've been alive has been trying to get that through. The West Bank would be its own country. Palestine, Israel, it should be.
Well,
there's no doubt.
They deserve to have autonomy and some freedom and...
Their own country.
They
support
yeah.
that. But wait a minute. This one's my country. See, so it's not about religion or Middle Eastern politics. It's the First Amendment, motherfucker.
That's right.
I can't criticize Israel? What's next?
Well, what's next is I can't criticize the U.S. government.
I can't support the Black Panthers. I can't support the American Indian movement. I can't support Brooks Patterson. I can't... What?
Well, and that's the great thing about this country is whatever you're going to say, however heinous it is, unless you're advocating violence, you're allowed to say it. And you should be.
Dude, you right know? Here. National Review.
Conservative magazine.
Yeah, let me see here, man. Once they read this, they criticized the shit out. What'd they call it? They just called it, just, look, man. Where is it? Fuck, it was devastating. Go ahead and talk, Bob, while I find this fucker.
Well, you know, I mean, this whole issue is, not being handled well by the current administration. You know, like I said, I just can't believe that a president of the United States would disparage American citizens and elected members of Congress from traveling to another country. And then Israel caved, you know, because Netanyahu is in a tenuous political situation, and Trump is more popular.
He's on the ropes for corruption.
Right. And he needs to win so he doesn't get you know, go to jail for corruption. And Trump is more popular in Israel than Netanyahu. So he just caves to him because, you know, he's pandering to the politics of it.
See, dude, look, I mean, why are you in the Middle East? I'm here in fucking Ferndale. National Review calling it. What'd you just turn on?
Something. I didn't turn on. I turned my mic down because I coughed.
Oh, right on. Blatantly unconstitutional. It's blatantly, look right here, 26 states, including Michigan, have already passed similar anti-boycott laws. In our country? Hey, Gary Peters, Debbie Stabenow, what the fuck have you done?
Blatantly unconstitutional.
What is that? Who asked for that? Nobody even's aware of that. In fact, Gary, don't even go to Dearborn. You're not getting any money there. They know. They're pissed.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And it's not just, it's not an Arab thing. It's an American thing.
Well, and it's not just a Tlaib thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but where are you? So, hey, you know, I see Congresswoman Debbie Dingell standing behind there, right? Yeah. You're all a machine. Rashida, criticize your own party. Criticize the leadership from your own state. These whack jobs got to go. This, she's up there doing tweet and tweet and tweet. These dummies are voting for banking deregulation. Yeah. Yes, you did, Debbie. Stabbing
off.
Yes,
she did,
yes,
Garrett.
You did, Gary.
Yes, you did.
What have you done for us?
Well, other than taking money out of my pocket?
By the way, you know, Gary, you took $1 million from Israeli interests over here, the course of your career here. I'm not an anti-Semite. In fact, Arabs are Semites, as are Jews. Okay? No.
That's why they hate each other. They're brothers.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, and I'm a cousin.
Right.
It's my cousins. But you leave it to me to speak the way I want to, and the government stays the fuck out of it. The American government. I do not criticize the Israelis. You do what you want. And old, you know, you got cable, don't you, Bob?
I do.
Yeah, old Cable Bob can be outraged with Bibi Netanyahu, and this is terrible for American Israeli relations, and he's already on this. Shut the fuck up. Bob, if you say on this microphone right now, hey, man, I'm not going to buy some product made in Israel because I just really don't dig how they're treating the Palestinians, you don't get any government contracts. How the fuck can that be? How the fuck can that be? And again,
I don't know.
Two-state solution. Love each other. What the fuck? That's what we have. Ladies and gentlemen, look it up. I'm just
Googling. We had it.
BDS, boycott, divestment, sanctions. Put in Stabenow, put in Peters. You'll be shocked. Rick Snyder signed it into fucking law. So
he also signed in right to work, so I'm not a big fucking
fan.
Yeah,
it ain't black, it ain't white, it's not female, it's not male, it's not Jewish, Christian, Muslim. Man, we got to be together, and they're doing stuff. They're doing stuff, and we don't know it. I can't believe this ship blew up, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody remembered this? This is what we're living under. I don't like it. Hey, Gary. Well,
it's not good.
Gary, here's what you do. You hold hearings on our power grid.
That'd be a nice start.
Right? Hey, Debbie.
I mean, come on.
Debbie Stabenow, what you did was you brought $250 million home from the Treasury Department to tear down these houses in Detroit. And then when the feds came in and they're poisonous people with asbestos and all this, you called the whole investigation absurd. It's not absurd.
No.
What did she do before she was the senator?
If
you don't know, don't say, because Manny's listening.
Yeah, I don't know what she did.
What she? Yeah, man. What did Gary Peters do?
He was
the lottery
Grand Home Commission or administration.
Yeah, she appointed him to head the lottery, and then before that, he ran for Attorney General of the state of Michigan, and he lost. And before that, he's a hack up in Lansing. You're nothing but an apparatchik, dude.
Out of the Duggan administration.
Well, yeah, because who made Granholm? Mike Duggan.
Yeah.
Mike Duggan hired Jenny Granholm to be the corporation counsel for Wayne County.
Yeah.
And we know what's going on. So here's what I want.
And then after she got out to be governor, she moves out of the fucking state. She doesn't even live here anymore.
I thought she lived in Berkeley.
Oh, yeah, Berkeley, California. Not
Berkeley, California.
Not Berkeley, Michigan.
No.
I'm sick of it. Because, guess what happened in Detroit? Congresswoman Tlaib, Senator Stabenow, Senator Peters, Democratic folk, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, listen, an asbestos bomb went off in Detroit. An asbestos bomb. Want to know what I did with Deadline Detroit?
I know what you did.
What'd I do?
You wrote the article.
Well, fucking for the you know, the listener? Hello?
How, you know, they tore down a building, didn't evacuate or alert anybody.
It was at 6 Mile in Woodward. It was an apartment building. It was 35,000 square feet. This isn't a house.
It was like three football fields, right?
Of asbestos. Inside of it. Three football fields, which includes the end zones. That's how much asbestos was in this thing. They tore it down without taking the asbestos out, which is against
that's the law.
All of the laws.
Sure.
And then what the city is saying, because their favored contractor got this deal, right? The city said, well, the contractor came up with a new study saying it's dangerous and we can't make them go in there, so we're going to let them tear it down and not take the asbestos out.
And that's the thing, that they said it was dangerous to go in. There's a hiccup in the law where they don't have to do that if it's a danger to go in, right?
If it is ordered that it's dangerous. But here's the thing. Nobody ordered it.
Motherfucker.
Nobody put their signature on it. The reason we were given for this thing need to come down right away was there's a fully occupied apartment building right next door to it, right? And it presents an imminent danger to those people. Except the fucking thing caught on fire a year and a half ago and nobody's living in it. That I could find anyway.
The apartment building that they claimed to...
Dude, he still got the boards up where the fire was.
Oh, jeez.
Like, what the fuck is this? And then they changed the contract, okay? Saying, okay, you don't have to take the demolition out. We're going to subtract that. And we're going to add in the new cost, right, for not taking out the asbestos. And it's going to cost more not to take out the asbestos.
How does that even work?
And then who approved it? Watch this. They waited 4 months to put it in front of city council to vote on the change. Except city council was on vacation. And there's this little quirk in the law. If they're on vacation and the contract comes before them, even though they're not there, if nobody's there to object to it, and they're not there to object to it, then it passes.
Oh, jeez.
Joey's, you understand?
I mean, that's...
You understand, and you're like, that can't be true.
No.
So they're on vacation, and if nobody objects to it while they're on vacation, it...
It passes.
Right.
Seems like a fix.
Right. Now, that's federal money. That's HUD money. Here we go again. I wrote that, and man, the state's on it. Johnny Fed's on it. They're scrambling downtown. You just lit off a bomb. Children. Oh, people. You didn't tell them you were doing it. In fact, you know how I found out about it? They fucking made a video. They made a video, the contractor.
Tearing down the...
And then the city retweeted it, and I'm like, everybody's... You know, they're all downtown like, who the fuck's telling the duff this? Who the fuck telling the duff? I'm like, you told me.
Right.
I watched the video you posted.
The damn video.
And you know what? If all this shit has asbestos in it, those trucks are supposed to be lined with, like, white Visqueen bags, right? And then you're supposed to put water in it with the debris, and then you got
to keep the dust down.
And you got to seal it up, and then you got to put shit over the top of the truck. You got to seal the truck. You got to double seal it. Well, I'm watching in the video, some of these trucks are just driving away.
Oh, boy.
And they're driving up Woodward. They're driving up Woodward, ladies and gentlemen. They're poisoning 6 Mile, 7 Mile. I don't know if they got to 8 Mile, 9 Mile. They went to
asbestos remediation. They went to Wayne.
They went 25 miles away. So we're all. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. I'll let the feds and the state do it now. But were we all sucking up asbestos? Did we pay to be poisoned? Hey Rashida, that's your district. Hey Gary, that's your district. Hey Debbie, that's your district. What are you doing for us? See, we're angry as fuck.
Tired of the bullshit.
See, the media is driving a wedge like, you know, blacks and whites. We know about this, and Karen's not here, and she really wanted to talk about it. Shit's bothering her. And I go, nothing's changed, Karen. You think anything's changed? No. But here's the thing. Middle class people do care about poor people, and disproportionately they are black. They are minorities, right? White people are poor too. But
sure.
We pay. We pay and we pay and we pay and we want to help. And it never seems to get there. It doesn't get to Six Mile and Woodward. You're poisoning them.
No.
Everybody listening, that's your money. And you're there to make sure the babies don't get poisoned. We do want redevelopment. And what are they doing?
They're fucking taking the money and fucking fuck the people.
So, you know, I went there. They didn't tell the people they were even going to demolish it, much less there's asbestos in this shit. Get the fuck out of Dodge. So, hello, Jeffrey Figer. I smell a class action, motherfucker. I really do. So, do we have that? I sent it to you, Bob. You got it?
Yep, I do.
Okay, it's this guy's name is Rasta Hakim. He got the Lions Den. He sells oil and, you know, stuff, incense and teas. And he's the only guy in that building I could find. So, so we're in his shop right now.
The reason why we can't breathe is because of the way they, you know, this building behind here? Remember when they tore it down?
Mm-hmm.
Full of asbestos. Did you know that?
3 football fields.
Full of asbestos. That building was full of asbestos. They should have notified this whole surrounding area. Hey, we finna tear this building down and it's asbestos. Y'all need to move. Y'all need to go somewhere until we get all this asbestos clear.
They tore that down? They didn't tell you.
They didn't tell nobody. That it was asbestos in them buildings.
Oh, okay, in the buildings that they tore down.
Tore down right behind here.
You know what asbestos does to you?
Yeah.
It gives you cancer.
Causes cancer, yeah.
Mesothelioma. Ooh. Lung disease.
For man.
Mesothelioma.
Now, why do you figure they didn't tell you?
Because we're black, and we're poor, and we're in the hood.
And it probably wouldn't make a difference anyway.
Yeah, it wouldn't make. That's what they do it all the time. In the hood, they do it all the time.
Is that what I'm saying? We're at McNichols, 6 Mile, and Woolworth. You're my neighbor. See, I live at 9 Mile. I live 3 miles from here.
Yeah, but he's 9 miles.
Right, he's 9 miles.
Okay, but still, this ain't no foreign land to me. You're my neighbor.
You're 9 miles. When you're breathing asbestos, it ain't like you're breathing something. You're breathing in, you don't know, but you're breathing in fibers that you can't even see.
You want to send a message to the mayor?
Yeah, you need to care about the people of the city instead of just the people downtown in the city.
Boom.
That's it.
That's our brother.
It's well said.
I like his voice. He's our voice. Listen, everybody drive him around and listen to this. You know? You too. We, Manny, thank you again. And Billy, fuck you again. Because this is where you're supposed to be the regular guy. You know, and just echo. But all of you all, we all got to be together. I'm pissed at the government. And I'm pissed at you, Bob, because you're getting carried away with Bibi Netanyahu. And what about the shit here? All politics is local. And we're not hearing anything locally about what the politicians are doing. This is bullshit.
No, and you're right. We should all be concerned about it because, like you said, they tore down the house at 6 Mile.
Not a house.
Or the apartment.
Apartment, a 5-story.
Right,
you can see it from outer space.
And then trucked it through how many more communities? Affecting, and it wasn't just the black people. It was affecting the white people and the
Arab people. The Jewish people.
The Jewish people. Everybody.
Us. They? We.
Us.
The people.
The people. Yeah.
So where
and
is
how
it?
How are we letting them get away with that?
I dropped that last night. Where is it? Where's TV? Come on, they made a video. You got your pictures. It's right. Fucking outrageous. And it was over $500,000. You're fucking around with federal money again. Dude, I'm telling you, down there, this shit is live. It's live. The feds are all, this thing stinks. The feds are everywhere. You see what they're doing to the UAW now?
No, there's another corruption.
Another
one, yeah.
Another indictment. Feds charge ex-UAW leader in growing corruption scandal. Listen, folks, from Rob Snell, Detroit News. He's a killer.
Yeah.
I call Rob to get informed. I read Rob. If you're going to follow anybody,
Yeah, he,
Rob Snell's the guy that keeps track of shit for you.
He's got his finger on the pulse.
He covers federal courts, man. He's in the streets. He's doing all of it. Here, let me read this. This was from yesterday. A former senior United Auto Worker official has been charged with wire fraud, conspiracy, and money laundering, marking an expansion of a federal corruption investigation that has spread beyond Fiat Chrysler automobiles. Michael Grimes, who until last year served as administrative assistant to UAW Vice President Cindy Estrada, received $1.99 million in kickbacks from union vendors, according to the government. He and other unnamed union officials assigned to General Motors were paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes and kickbacks from vendors who received contracts to produce promotional merchandise for the UAW, according to a criminal case unsealed Wednesday. The criminal charges, which could send Grimes to federal prison for 20 years, help federal investigators pierce the inner circle of Estrada, a sitting UAW vice president and head of the union's Fiat Chrysler department, who has been under scrutiny for almost 2 years. The case also expands the scope of a criminal investigation that until now focused on Fiat Chrysler executives. Now it's all over the joint.
Now they're up in the UAW what is shit.
What the fuck, Joey?
I got nothing. I mean, that's
I know you got nothing. Jesus. Get the dust off your lip. Jesus. Joey, we're building Chrysler a fucking plant.
Brand new plant, yeah.
And the economy's turning. Auto sales are softening. And you're really telling me we're going to work three shifts for 30 years selling $75,000 Jeeps? Remember, Dave Bing was in here.
Aren't they claiming 5,000
jobs? 10,000
jobs
in there?
10,000 jobs?
Really? We had Dave Bing in here. You know, Dave was a fucking auto supplier.
Yeah.
Really?
He knew.
Yeah. Well, supposedly, we're going to make that money back over 30 years, right? We're going to give them $320 and we're going to make $350 over 30 years. That's the payback. Yeah, I like jobs.
Yeah, jobs are good, but that's not a huge return.
If it's even true. Now, listen, everybody knows what it's like when a city's bank account goes empty. Welcome to Detroit.
You go bankrupt.
You go bankrupt. You don't have any police. There's shootings everywhere. We don't even talk about it. You know what we do? We watch cable. Okay, well, there's a dude in Philly. This time it was a black guy. Barricaded gunman. Lit off 100 rounds. Hit six people.
Hit six cops.
Yeah. Those are people, dude.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Is that Trump's fault? Or is it what's going on? Is it what you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Is it? Are we going to find a talking point here? Are we going to admit we got a fucking problem with these weapons? Huh?
Well, I think the president came out just today.
And don't take this as a me voting for Trump type of shit.
No.
Everybody be sensible. Go ahead.
But backtracked from the background checks that he agreed with Mitch McConnell that they were going to try and bring up to just dealing with the mental health issues.
To start.
Is it enough?
No.
I mean, no. Like you said, you know. They just arrested that 20 or 18-year-old kid in Ohio who had, 15 or 16 AR-15s and 10,000 rounds of ammunition, and he had threatened to shoot up a fucking school.
Is that why they arrested him?
Well, he posted something on, I don't know if it was 4chan or 8chan or whatever, but making threats, and so they went to his house, and he had all these AR-15s and 10,000 rounds of ammunition. What the fuck's an 18-year-old need multiple AR-15? What is it an 18-year-old need one AR-15 for?
To make credible threats. That's what he needs them for.
And he did.
Come on already. Do something up there. Stop raising money. Stop poisoning us.
Do something.
Stop checking my First Amendment right to speak.
Right.
Do something for us.
Something.
No bullshit. You're in trouble down there, Mike. You know you are. This is bad. This is bad.
This is bad.
Gary, step up. I want an investigation of what happened at 6 and Woodward. I want that. We deserve that.
We deserve it, but we're not going to get it.
Then I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going until we get some satisfaction.
And that's what we need reporters for. Hold their feet to the fire.
Where is everybody? I know where Snell is. He's busy working his ass off. Where is it? Nobody mentioned these boycott and sanction laws that we have in Michigan. Are you serious? Are you serious?
Right, and it's all the talk on MSNBC and cable news and CNN or whatever.
Yeah, Rashida, your own home state. Focus on it. Fight the battle here.
Yeah.
Fight, do something.
Do something.
Get off of TV with the Twitter and shit. Do something. You can. There's a battle to be fought here. And it's beyond race. It's beyond religion. It's our rights.
Well, and it's beyond Trump.
It is.
You know, it is. It's bigger than that.
It's these parties got a stranglehold on everything.
They do.
They're just money machines.
They are.
That's why Hillary got the nomination. That's why Biden backed down last time. He didn't have the guts to take it on. She raised the most money. It's
and damn near lost to Bernie Sanders.
Lost in Michigan.
Lost in Michigan, yeah. You know, didn't even go to Wisconsin.
Shoot.
Fuck.
I don't know, dude.
I don't know either.
I don't. Hey, Billy, how do you feel about this?
Crickets.
Right. Jesus. Dick. I love you, though, dude. I'm just fucking around, man. Whatever. It's good. Come on over tonight. So, let's get a little closer to home with this government. You see what's going on in Oakland County. Elbrooks Patterson passed away last
passed
week.
Passed away. Now they have a pissing match between the Oakland County commissioners, who's going to run for county exec.
The Democrats and the Republicans. The
Democrats and Republicans. And I think the Democrats had a one commissioner advantage on
11 to 10.
11 to 10. And then...
See, that's what Brooks Patterson was saying. Like, I don't mind, you know, the Democrats. I just don't like their politics.
Right,
so,
right.
So this last election cycle, they finally took control of the county commission.
County commission.
11 to 10, that's the first.
But then Al Brooks passes away, and was it, I don't know, it wasn't Dave Woodward.
Yeah.
It was Dave Woodward.
He
resigned.
He resigned
because you can't be a member of the commission and
because
run for county executive.
Because he wants to be appointed.
Right.
Right? The interim county executive.
So
right?
he resigns
but,
from the commission.
But you're not allowed to do both. You can't draw a paycheck. Right.
Right.
So he resigns.
So he resigns. And then he withdrew from the fucking race for the appointment to the county executive.
Because holy hell broke loose because we're all getting a look at what's going on with politics now, right? The Republicans are trying to cut deals, right? They're going back and forth. One of the Republican commissioners told all of her colleagues to delete the emails, delete, because the media going to get a hold of what you're doing, right?
Then that gets leaked out.
Then the Democrats are, you know, now there's a committee to, you know, vet people, and they stack it. It's two Democrats, one Republican, and the whole thing just blows.
Blows up.
It blows.
Well, and the crazy thing to me,
see, we're not used to this in Oakland County, man. We
like no.
Some solidity to ours.
Well, and some, yeah, just some stability.
Do it right.
Do it right way. But the crazy thing to me about that this whole deal, they knew Al Brooks was sick. He was an older man.
With pancreatic cancer.
Pancreatic cancer.
He's getting chemotherapy. He's in stage four.
They knew he was going to be out as county exec.
Yes.
They had no plans.
None.
No plans in place.
And I
you're like, what the fuck?
I also got to blame Brooks Patterson and his crew. Like, you couldn't get together and do a succession plan. This couldn't have been neat, by the book, open, so we the people can see what you're doing, because we are concerned in Oakland County. This shit is run properly. No behind closed door deals. We don't lie. Because what's next? What's next? Remember, fake Duggan called in. And he's like, now that Brooks is gone, we're going to get a hold of your money. I'm worried about that.
Well, I am too, because Oakland County was run very well. Whatever you think of Al Brooks Patterson, I mean, the county was run well in terms of not, you know, losing money and, you know, paying for shit that we didn't need to pay for.
Not one grand jury I'm aware of. I cover politics here. And I cover politics. There's not one that I'm aware of. And I know they did really hard things. Like, he and Hackle up in Macomb County took on the Billionaire Boys Club. They wouldn't.
They did.
They wouldn't. They let the regional transportation package go to a vote 1 year. And then they came back again. They're like, we're not even going to bring it up, man.
Right.
This, what you're trying to do is tax the people's houses to pay for yourself and all the bullshit you got going on.
And we're not doing that.
Right? And they don't get any credit for being strong.
No.
Like, you could say what you want. It's uncooperative. You built a wall. I don't know. When I'm looking at it, ladies and gentlemen, when I sit in my basement and I go through the projections and I go through the interest rates and I go through the, is this present value money? Is this future value? When I'm looking, I'm like, this motherfucker stinks. Yeah. I'm doing it. Maybe I should run. Because at least I'm going to try to do your business.
Right.
Not the party's business. Not the party's business.
The people's business.
The people's the children's business. Did you hear Rasta Hakeem? The fuck? You didn't tell me?
Because it matters. It fucking matters. I mean,
do you know HUD sends $50 million a year to Detroit to help Detroit? And this and you're taking down buildings with asbestos in and not telling anybody. And you didn't even get permission from yourself. And now they're down there finger pointing, saying it was a verbal communication. It was a verbal authority. What?
What is that?
That's not legal.
No, verbal contracts don't hold up for anything.
I don't think. It's federal fucking money.
We'll make a verbal contract right now. Charlie, you got to buy my drinks after the show.
So wait a minute. Now, Mr. Duggan, you want $200 million. You want Detroit to tax itself an additional $200 million, and we're going to entrust it to you to do demolition? This is what you're doing? You think you got a shot in hell?
After you've squandered the federal money?
And what's that $200 million going to be used for? Demolishing stuff or paying money back to the feds? Because if I got to guess, you're going to get hit with a big fucking fine minimum. And yes, there's a public corruption grand jury. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I don't know where it goes. That's what I know.
But they don't open grand juries if they don't have any.
Do you hear me, Mr. Peters? Do you hear me, Ms. Stabenow? Do you hear me, Ms. Tlaib? Do you hear me, Ms. Dingle? Our stuff. We. You represent us. Us, not the party. Do something. I put it out there. DeadlineDetroit.com. It's out there. Read it. All the documents are there. The video's there. The fucking contractor videotaped, made a slick video. It's like he filmed himself. Unbelievable.
Well, the arrogance.
Now, you know,
I mean, come on.
The city does not call me to do blowjob stories for them. They call others to do blowjob stories. Those of you that have done them, shame, shame, shame. Look what they did. Follow up. Because you got used. You got used, and nobody's listening anymore. Everybody's tuning out. The Free Press got bought by a hedge fund. They're going to whack you.
Yeah.
You got to come with it. The people,
the news is
the
getting,
people want the local newspaper because they're aching for local news. Bob knows all about Bibi Netanyahu, and he knows nothing about Six and Woodward. And it's not his fault, Manny. God, am I yelling? I'm sorry. It hurt, dude.
It fucking sucks.
Oh, my God, I can't breathe. I really can't. Sorry, guys. It's supposed to be fun, but this is, you know, we're like at the 52-minute mark. We'll wrap it up. This is what you need to know. Okay, what do we learn today? UAW is a fucking shithole. It's run by creeps, right?
Ripping off their members.
Your own people, your own government. Your representatives were partying their ass off with the executives from Chrysler taking wine and cigars and vacations to fuck you over.
And did.
Yeah.
And did.
And they're going, thank you.
And we're still giving them more money.
Thank you, Johnny Lawman. If it wasn't for you... Oh, this is not okay. Hey, Drew. Hey, bro. Yo. Can you believe this shit? Johnny Fed's coming after Chrysler. I mean, the UAW. Another guy? Now they're into Cindy Estrada, the vice president's office.
Man, I'm just walking by.
I know, dude. I just saw it's not a very, I like what you did with the front there.
Thank you.
Drew remodeled the front.
It looks great, too, by the way.
You still got all those rants?
All the what?
All the rats. You still got
rats?
No,
I don't have rats.
That's what happens when you pick up the dog shit. Wow. Oh, yeah, then what's the rat poison doing up in the window, Drew?
What window?
Upstairs.
You mean upstairs?
Upstairs. You know where your jerseys are and all?
That's old. What are you doing up there?
You know what's great? Drew's got all these bookshelves up there, and all the books are on the floor.
We haven't got to the upstairs yet.
I haven't got up there yet.
Red Shovel Studios has been a major undertaking. Remember the
work
the
in progress.
Yes, the crumbling porch, remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Fixed. Had to replace that.
Nice.
New garden in front.
Yes.
New deck in back.
Wow.
It looks great.
New floors. Thanks, Bob.
And there's no beer in the fridge.
I'm not a big drinker.
But I am. Okay, so here's what we learned today. Did you know, Rashida Tlaib can't go to Israel because, she professes her support for the boycott?
Yes.
Okay, do you know Michigan has a similar law? That if you are part of this boycott movement, that you can't have state contracts?
I didn't know that.
Is that crazy? Don't you think it'd be more effective if Senator Peters and Stabenow and our congresspeople bickered over what's going on here instead of what's going on over there?
I don't understand any of it, to be honest. Why? I don't know why that would take 5 minutes of time, of their time. But I agree.
It's talking shit, because Bob's over here talking about Bibi Netanyahu and the American-Israeli relations. It worked.
I didn't know Bob went that deep.
He's got cable.
Big MSNBC follower.
Well, shouldn't she be more worried about the asbestos bomb?
That's what...
she should be.
Right. See, I want hearings on that, because remember, Senator Stabenow brought that federal money home for the demolitions. Keep an eye on it, baby.
All right.
Okay, get the fuck out of my studio. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Bye. Drew.
Speaking of can't breathe, by the way, Joe, Chicken Joe, was calling everybody up. This is my...
He had a rough go.
Yeah, Chicken Joe couldn't breathe. Oh, yeah, you want to call Joe? Joe? Okay. Yeah, Chicken Joe was calling everybody up, telling me couldn't breathe. So I guess he recorded it. It's me. It's with Sam Zaney. And Mike Nevin from the fire department. And I don't know what he's doing. So he sent this in. There we go. Poor Joe.
Hello? Charlie, what's up? Hey, what's up, Joe? What's going on, man?
Man, I'm having difficulty breathing, man. The heat.
What do you mean?
It's so hot and humid. My sinuses are closed up, and I just have trouble inhaling and breathing. I get scared.
Why don't you open your windows, man?
Well, that doesn't help when you have a family.
Oh, that's right. They're all broken, aren't they?
They're not broken all the way.
I've been in your house, dude. Come on.
You've been
now.
In the wrong house. You
barely got hot water. Shut up, man. Are you serious, though?
Yeah, man. It's scary, man. It's scary. I was last night. I was scared to go to sleep because I was afraid I wouldn't wake up.
Are you having trouble right now?
I'm breathing, but it's like, I could feel this is going to be another one of them nights, man.
Why are you afraid of when you go to sleep?
Because when I sleep, my mouth closes.
No, listen. Well, that's called apnea, dude.
Well, it might be, but whatever it is, I need
But you didn't have that before?
It's an ongoing thing, actually.
Bro, are you having trouble breathing? Right now?
Not right this minute, but it's just like the air is real thick.
Should you go to the hospital? Do you need a lift?
I don't have any type of insurance, so that's out of the question.
Well, you can go to emergency, man. Tell them you can't breathe.
That's especially out of the question.
Listen, if you're having trouble, first number you call is 911.
Right.
The second number you call is mine.
Are you okay? Man, I've been having a lot of trouble breathing this heat. Mainly what happens is when I fall asleep, I stop breathing. My sinuses close up, my mouth closes, and I'm not breathing.
Fuck.
He's got no breath to call everybody.
What's he doing?
And that comes and goes.
Why don't you apply for Medicaid?
I have allergies to dealing with the government.
That's funny.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, who's this?
Mike Nevin. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, how you doing, man?
I'm great. I got a call from Charlie. He said you were having difficulty breathing.
Yeah, it's just because of the weather. The air is real
because you're fat,
shit,
Joe.
You know?
Don't play with that. Don't play with that, Joe. If you're having difficulty breathing, you get yourself into urgent care, go to the hospital, because it could be something else. You never know. It could be your heart. It could be anything. That breathing is nothing to play with. You might want to make an appointment with a a breathing doctor. Charlie was concerned.
A breathing doctor? With a breathologist?
Was having difficulty breathing. And,
you fucking know, the fire guy.
Tight, you know,
breathing humid. Doctor.
You got this rain right now. I mean, you should get into the, you know, get into urgent care or whatever.
See the breathing doctor.
My thing is, I never got
get a sphincterologist, Joe.
Quite I don't have any though. Insurance.
I don't have any.
And I'm afraid to go in there and incur a fucking expense that I can't pay and then have them come back on me.
Joe. Joe. Yeah. Joe.
What's up, man?
Why are you calling everybody and scaring them on a fucking Tuesday night, dude?
You had them call me.
I just called and said, fucking Joe's got some issue, man. I just called a paramedic and a firefighter.
There you go.
But did you go to the hospital? You see what you do to me, Joe? Joe, you fucked you freaked me out, bro. It's like I'm just sitting there having a nice glass of wine with my wife, and Joe can't breathe.
You know what? Your wife actually had some excellent advice.
See, that you, like, said, I know, and then you get into my wife's business, and I'm like, Joe's affecting my life. God, what was my wife's advice?
She said, go sit on the porch, and that actually was a pretty good idea. I put my chair, my lawn chair on the porch where I could lean my head against the wall, keep my neck straight, and I was actually able to take short naps and shit. Or at least whenever the thing kicked in and I stopped breathing, I would wake up instantly. And so that worked out pretty good.
Well, see, we care about you.
Another thing I figured out is I'm too damn fat.
You know how you figured that out? Because I told you.
Crushing against my lungs.
Because I told you you're too fat. You're too fat.
I need to lose about 30 pounds.
30?
Get myself down to about 200 pounds.
You 230?
I'm 228. The last time I measured myself a few days ago, it was 228.
And how tall are you?
5'7".
So you're 5'6". Because I know how you short guys kind of just...
Fuck you, man.
How are you doing now, Joe?
Well, I'm awake and I'm at work, so it's a different story. But when I try to lay down and sleep, my guts are pressing against my lungs. It makes it harder to inhale. And to inhale, now I have to lift all these heavy-ass guts up.
You know what, Joe? One time I was at the morgue, the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office, and I'm watching him do an autopsy. And they cut this dude open, and he was so fat. There was like about, I'd say really about 12 inches of blubber surrounding him. And then when they peel that off and you see his frame, I was like, he's a little elf inside. It was a small guy. And
he's getting crushed by the fat.
Yeah. And you're actually a little elf inside, Joe, and there's no way you should be weighing 230. You should weigh 160.
Well, I should weigh a lot less than what I do because – when my stomach just goes out and down and comes back in, like it's just huge.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's supposed to be flat.
Listen.
Or maybe not.
When's the last time you've seen your own cock? When's the last time you've actually, do you
every time I pull it out to take a whiz, I can say.
I mean, without the mirrors on your shoes.
My gut's not hanging out that bad, but I'm just saying that there's a little bit of extra weight, and I know it is. If I lay on my side,
Joe, when was the last time? When was the last time you were at the doctor?
Oh shit, long time.
You need to take care of that.
You really do, dude. And stop calling me on Tuesday and freaking me out because you really did, and I do love you. But look, here's if you want to lose some weight, the easiest way is to go to Six and Woodward and inhale some big, deep breaths of asbestos. Right? It'll metastasize. No. You'll get sick. And really thin, really quickly.
It'll just melt off.
Yeah.
So if you go on Six and Woodward, you'll be inhaling a bunch of drag queens around there. That ain't cool.
But you like them.
No, I don't.
Remember, you picked one up, and then she took your $20 and ran.
No.
Yeah. And then you went to the fire party in your S&M gear and got paddled to death. Come on, Joe. Everybody knows what's going on with you.
No. Man.
Yeah.
You just want to make shit up.
Fuck, will you make shit up, man?
It must be a slow news week for you, man.
I'm under enough stress as it is, Joe. My brother fucking doesn't give me respect, right? People are getting poisoned. Tlaib's running around. Trump's running around. Bob's watching cable. And you're calling me. And I can't.
Well, your brother was doing what?
None of your business. None of your business. You and my brother get along real good, dude. real good.
I met your brother. He's cool. I like him.
Which one?
The one that he's a database specialist.
No, that's Frankie. That's Frankie. Billy.
How many brothers you got?
I got a lot of brothers, man. You're my brother, Joe.
Well, you don't count all your cousins and aunts and uncles.
No, I count my brothers, man. Brothers.
People that live down the street, they're not all your brothers. Just because they got brown skin, that don't make them your brother.
There you go with your boy. Because I'm brown-skinned, man, like you got a problem? You vote. Come on, Joe.
Your white privilege is coming out.
You're better than that, Joe. You're better than that. You're the problem. You're the problem.
I'm the problem.
In this country. Yes, you.
You're the problem if you don't go to the goddamn doctor and take care of yourself.
Take you and your white privilege and get your ass into emergency, man, all right? They got stuff for that.
Well, I did go online and apply for Medicaid. Now they want more documents.
Great.
See?
Now you want more documents.
Now I got to pay for Joe's health. Here's what you do, dude. You do the old school method. If you got apnea, this is what you do. Get a popsicle, okay, when it's hot out. Get a popsicle. Eat the popsicle. Cool down. And then you're going to take those two sticks and you're going to put them in your nostrils and in your lip. So what you're going to do is you're going to hold your mouth open.
Is this something that you saw on a Felix the Cat cartoon or something, man?
No, that's medical science, what that is.
Yeah, I got that from the breathiologist.
The breathing.
It's fucking Nevin. Go to the breathing doctor. All right, listen, man. Love you, Joe. That wasn't a piece. So whatever you're doing, listen, go. I need next week. Joe's disappearing Detroit. You finally did.
Man, there wasn't supposed to be a series. I was just talking to a guy and had one conversation. It was cool. Now you want to turn it into a big series.
Quiet down.
You wanted to turn it into a series, Joe. You called me up the Wednesday before last, before your breathing episode, and said, my whole Detroit's disappearing. So, okay, we're going to do that. So, you did edit that piece of you and the drug dealer, and it was really nice.
It was a good job, Joe.
We can't play it because you got it in too late. You missed deadline. But you can take that beginning.
Well, you can play the completed version, you know. You guys rehash news stories on Channel 2 all the time. You have one version at 6 o'clock and a totally different version of the same footage at 10 o'clock.
Thanks for watching, Joe.
Joe. You're going to go find your old teacher, remember? Okay, that's what I want you to do next week. Everybody's going to be waiting for it.
I don't know any teachers. I'm not in school. I don't even have kids that are in school.
You used to go. You're supposed to go find your old teacher. You know, Joe, the one that has no fucking idea who you were? Right? That one.
Them people all died from old age by now.
Do some work, Joe. I can't do. Listen, you calling me up in a fucking breathing panic is not journalism.
That's what it was. I was freaking out because I couldn't come up with a story, and I started having breathing panics.
He was having a panic attack.
So you're blaming Charlie for a panic attack.
Oh, my God.
Right.
And now you got on Medicaid because I gave you a panic attack?
Well, he should be on Medicaid.
Too much pressure. I can't deal with it.
Are you resigning?
No, I'm not.
Damn
I'm just
right.
Saying, I'm just fucking with you, man.
All right, listen, man.
Can I fuck with you? You fuck with me all the time. I can't fuck with you, man.
I'm not the guy that goes to fireman parties wearing fucking latex and a choke ball. All right?
Get his ass off.
What are you talking about?
And there's a fucking nurse that told me to put this shit on.
So you did it. Listen.
Yeah, there's a hot-ass nurse. If this hot-looking nurse told you to put that shit on, you'd have been right away.
I don't think so. No, that's fake news, Joe.
I certainly wouldn't let him paddle me.
No, I wouldn't put it on, and I wouldn't let him paddle me. Really wouldn't. Just saying.
Well, I'm just saying it's a really hot nurse.
Bye, Joe.
All right, bye, Charlie. All have right. A good weekend.
You too, man. Don't see you, Joe.
Take care.
Get crushed under the truck there at the junkyard you work at as a mechanic.
Yeah, right now I'm trying to figure out why this one won't start.
Because it's a junkyard, Joe. None of them start.
No, it was running the other day. Last week it was in there. The backup alarm wouldn't go off, but it ran.
Bye, Joe.
Joe, take care of yourself, and if you have any other more problems, go to the emergency room.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
All right, see you.
Talk to you guys later.
That's the end of the show. I don't know what the fuck just went on there, Bob. But I don't think you got anything wrong today.
And I hope not.
Let's review.
And if I did, Manny, please let me know.
And let's review, Bob. Go ahead. What did we learn today? Quickly.
Well, we learned that Gary Peters and Debbie Stabenow are not representing our interests, and they're out for themselves. We're learning that, well, and Gary Peters is part of the Duggan machine because he came out of the Granholm administration.
And that we do have a boycott and that we investment do and sanctions law. Here.
In Michigan.
Yes.
In Michigan.
I doubt it's constitutional.
And we learned Joe has panic attacks and freaks out and calls everybody in the middle of the fucking night.
That's right. That's what we learned.
That's what we learned.
So I don't know what we just said, but that's what we had to say. Remember, try to love one another, stay together, demand more. Later, Bobby. Joey. Get well, Karen.
Get well, Karen.
Treat me wrong. Come and love your daddy all night long. All right. All right.
All right.
All right. All right. All right.
And what I said.
When you're sitting in misery, come on, baby, still love me. All right.
Yeah. It's all right.
All right.
It's what I said.
Red dress on. She love me all night long, all right. Baby, you can't do right.
Oh, all right, all right.
That's what I said.
Wait one time.
She knows how to shake that thing, all right.
It's all right. All right, all right now. I'm gonna tell your mama,
tell your pa, I'm gonna rock you back to Arkansas, that's right. The baby you can't do right. That's what I said.
Arkansas got those laws too. Those boycott laws.
Tell me what I say.
Arkansas.
Tell me what I say.
Tell me what I say.
The first record I ever remember.
Really?
I live in Gary, Indiana. I don't know, 1970 or something. One of those little portable record players. It was Ray Charles. It was this and What I Say. No, this and Hit the Road, Jack. I played it over and over, back, forward, back. It's the first song I remember in my life.
Wow. Good song to be a first.
Oh, yeah, man. You don't even know your parents are here.
It's all right.